This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everybody. It's Vasna Farhad of the People Speak radio show. Here we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. We've got a couple of guests tonight, and our first guest is somebody that I'm really proud to introduce. Mo Rock has been an acquaintance of mine on Pal Talk for a number of years. He's an incredibly wonderful and gifted young man, a Persian-American pop musician whose song Alo has been downloaded over a million times by Iranians, and they've used this as an anthem for protest. At 15 years old in Iowa, Mo Rock was impressed by the visit of Iranian Nobel Peace Prize laureate Shireen Ebadi to school. Shireen Ebadi was one of the first Iranian women ever awarded a Nobel Peace Prize, and something he's never forgotten. And this is something that has affected Mo deeply and still does. Hi, Mo. Welcome to the show.
How are you, Basma? Feels good
I'm
to be
fantastic.
Here.
I'm fantastic. I'm so glad you are. I have to tell you, Mo, your music is phenomenal. It really is. And for those that have never heard the songs Smash, Alo, Mo is an incredibly gifted young man. And besides, you're cute as heck. I'll tell you that.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
So cute.
I've been hearing that a little too much lately. I don't know if it's good for my ego.
Well, I'll tell you, run with it while it lasts, sweetie. Listen, let me ask you briefly, can you tell us, this music obviously has a message to it. Can you tell us where you're going with this and what your desire is to see where your music is going to go?
Well, before I get into all that, I want to first of all thank you and thank Mike, the producer, not only for giving me an opportunity to talk about this issue that I think is very important, but also for the work that you guys have put in for, I think it's been 3 or 4 years now. You know, it's hard to find a radio station or an outlet that really believes in integrity and compassion, but People Speak is really one of the few radio stations that are all about the people. So I want to first of all thank you guys for doing what you do. And with regards to the music, really, Baltimore, it's just about it's about having fun. The music is not deep political music, but it's what's behind the music that is a little more profound. What's behind the music is a message of unity, a message that says, you know, we're all people on this planet. There shouldn't be culture clashes. There shouldn't be discrimination. As you're well aware, I have a Persian background. And instead of running away from my Persian background or running away from my ethnic background in the entertainment industry, which is unfortunately what a lot of young artists are doing, I choose to embrace it. I choose to use it as a positive. And so far, it's been a phenomenal choice that I've made because we've gotten a lot of positive responses from that decision to embrace diversity.
Let me ask you, have you received any negative repercussions to your music and the effects it's had on Iranians in Iran?
Well, the thing is, there's always threats. There's always, you know, people that don't believe in the message of unity, don't believe in the message of democracy and peace, but that's just part of the fight. You know, that's part of the big picture. Democracy and freedom is something that every generation has to fight for because there's always going to be people in power that don't like the concept of people having freedom. But, you know, like people say, you just always have to put on the good fight and wish for the best.
Well, let me ask you, what does your family feel about the music?
Well, you know, they're very extremely supportive. My family comes from a generation that has seen a lot of pain and anguish, a tremendous amount of war. So they're the first people that can understand and appreciate what it is that I do. My parents actually came to this country during the middle of the Iran-Iraq war, and many of my relatives that unfortunately I've never met had their lives taken in that unfortunate, disastrous war. So when I speak about peace and unity, they definitely have a very personal feeling towards all of this.
Well, you know, that's inspiring. I'm really glad to see that your parents are supportive, because obviously the Persian culture and the Middle Eastern cultures are very similar in background. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's important for people to know that we are supportive of our children, even when it goes, it's different than anything that we've ever experienced. We want our this kind of inspirational events to happen in their lives, and I think it's huge. Mo, you're involved, from my understanding, in the Green Movement. Can you tell us a little bit about the Green Movement and your role in this?
Well, definitely. The Green Movement really is a movement that has it started out with the presidential election of, as you know, Mousavi in Tehran, and has branched out into something much bigger. My role in it is a very small role when you consider how huge it is in the world. But I'm proud to say that I was the first artist to publicly wear the green wristband in a music video. And if people want to check out that video, they can simply go on Google or YouTube, type Mo Rock Baby June. The wristband is featured in that video. And the reason why I chose to wear it, despite the fact that many of my producers and many of the record labels that I was working with at the time suggested and almost forced me not to do it, but I went along and did it anyways because I believe in freedom of speech. But the reason why I did it was because I think it's important for everybody to see that this is not just something that's in Iran. This is something that is global. This is a fight for democracy. So even people in the United States where I live, I think they should be aware of what's going on and if anything, at least understand that the people are fighting for their civil rights. And I hope that people will stop seeing Iranians as what they're portrayed in, like in movies such as 300. You know, I'm here to say, no, we're not savages, we're not barbarians, we're simple, family
loving.
You don't
have all those rings in your lips and in your nose?
No, we don't have we don't have rings in our lips, we don't hate Greek people, we're very normal, civilized people that just want to live a good life, and, you know, I just always want to promote that message, and as long as that message gets across, then I feel like my mission has been accomplished.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up the movie 300. How, you know, being in entertainment, being in the musical industry, and now in the video industry, and that's very similar to the Hollywood concept of movie making, because I think videos are very important. I think the work that goes into them is as challenging as you would have on any kind of a film in film industry. Your thoughts on this 300? How did you react to that in the Iranian community here in the United States?
Well, first of all, let's take into context when that movie was released. Fasima, that movie was released in a time where the media was echoing a potential war between Iran, and at that time, obviously, there was a tremendous amount of tension anyways. So the movie was kind of just the cherry on top. I mean, I don't have a problem with people in the entertainment industry making money. I have many friends in Hollywood that are actors, that are producers, that are directors. So I understand it's okay to make a nice movie, make an action movie, and make money. But when you're degrading a civilized nation, then there's going to be expected backlash. And there was a tremendous amount of backlash from the Persian communities, as they should have been expecting, because if you look at the history of Iran, Basma, there's a tremendously profound history with the Persian people. In fact, Cyrus, of course, King Cyrus was one of the first people to promote the concept of civil liberties. And instead of these things being shown in Hollywood movies, instead, you know, they're shown as barbarians. So, of course, it's very disheartening, but fortunately, I think 300 was kind of an isolated case, and we haven't seen too many negative things after that.
Well, let's hope it's all cartoon fair, or at least, because the majority was like watching a glorified cartoon, I think. I thought that was kind of interesting. And, you know, when I have to tell you, as a Middle Eastern person myself, I don't often Although I do see the negative connotations, and I do know the reasoning behind movies that are being released at certain periods of time, I really believe that they affect our communities and our imagination as in perhaps negative ways. But one of the things is a lot of times if I watch it, I watch 300, and I think, oh wow, this is a great cartoon movie. I never think politics. I don't know. I'm hoping a lot of people feel that way, but honestly, I don't think they do, especially after some of the movies that have come out. Avatar has been touted as either the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world. It's all the same. But, you know, Mo, you're yes. just an amazing young man. Can you tell us how we can follow you? You said you were on Twitter, and that's how we could find out about when your CDs are going to be released?
Well, they can follow me at twitter.com/officialmorock for my tour dates and for when the album that I'm working on is going to be released. I have a show coming up April 4th in Southern California with DJ Felly Fell, who's one of the world's biggest hip-hop DJs. So that's going to be posted on Twitter. And all the other concert dates around U.S., and we're going to look into going into Dubai and have a miniature tour in Europe later this year as well. So we're going to go and take this message and take this music around the world. So for all the people out there, they can follow me at twitter.com/officialmorock to find out more info.
And that's Mo Rock, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible young Persian R&B artist. We're very proud of you, Mo. I appreciate your coming on our show tonight, and good luck to you. We will be following. You know we won't let you go, and we're going to have you back here real soon.
Well, thank you so much. I look forward to being back here again shortly. Thank you again to you, Mike, and the rest of the team.
It's a pleasure. I was going to call you Rusty. It's a pleasure. Mo Rock.
All righty. Thank you, Basma.
Thank you very much. We'll see you guys later. That was an incredible few minutes with a dear friend. Mo Rock is a friend of our show. He has been a guest of our show and listener for a long time. And actually helped in our background and acquired some of our guests for us when we originally started about 5 years ago. So this is really a pleasure for us to have him on the show. Our next guest is Dr. Barnett Meltzer, and we'll be taking a short break. And Dr. Meltzer wrote the book, The Best Kept Secret to Permanent Weight Loss. We're really excited about talking with him, and get ready to lose all your weight, folks. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.normal.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now, a public service message brought to you by Earthshare and the Ad Council.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine having banks and credit that serve the community, solvent and free of Wall Street corruption, that create strong local economy and job growth? Banks that put profits right back into the local business and economy, not into far-off foreign investments or high-risk and exotic finance schemes of the super-rich.
Yes, we can.
Can you imagine eliminating income tax, ensuring economic stability, increasing social programs, and improving the standard of living for all Americans while paying off the federal debt?
Yes, we can.
That's right. It's all possible.
Yes.
Can you join us in working towards a solution utilizing principles suggested by our founding fathers through united action and strategies outlined in articles, blogs, and Wiki spaces where you can share and collaborate?
Uh-huh.
Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, and help us make America's money and future of, by, and for the people once again. Can you do that?
Yes, we can.
Caution. If you are prone to being disturbed by real truth and real solutions, please continue to consult with your qualified Wall Street cheerleader economist on network television. Side effects for not visiting webofdebt.com include drowsiness, loss of job, loss of control of national finance, loss of country, followed by panic attacks and rude awakenings.
Join the World March for Peace and Nonviolence, an international three-month event spanning seven continents and over 1 million participants. With endorsements from luminaries worldwide such as President Jimmy Carter, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. The World March for Peace and Nonviolence seeks to bring attention to the need to end war and occupation, reduce arms spending, and all forms of violence. Please visit theworldmarch.org.
This land is yours.
Join us on the People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's the People Speak every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Hello, folks. It's Basma with the People Speak Radio. Thank you for tuning in this evening. We have another great guest. This gentleman is Dr. Barnett Meltzer, MD, author of The Best Kept Secret to Permanent Weight Loss. Dr. Meltzer is a pioneer and well-known expert in the field of preventative medicine, integrative medicine, and clinical nutrition. Dr. Meltzer owns the distinction of being the first medical doctor to enter the field of preventative medicine in Southern California and is a board-certified physician and surgeon with over 30 years of clinical experience, as well as a practicing primary care physician. As the founder and director of the Meltzer Wellness Institute, Dr. Meltzer is a leading authority in health, wellness, and metabolic nutrition. He's also a well-deserved reputation in Southern California's number one wellness, weight loss, and energy coach. Hello, Dr. Meltzer. It's a pleasure to have you with us this evening.
My pleasure indeed. How are you tonight?
Wonderful, actually. Really great.
Great.
Integrative diets are very interesting. First of all, I absolutely am thrilled that we have a lot more of this kind of integration in traditional medicine, alternative practices. But how do you accomplish a more homogeneous blending of diets that are required to keep weight off permanently, doctor?
Well, I think that, you know, the first thing that we have to establish is that, you know, there's many approaches to losing weight, but the majority, if not all, the approaches that are readily available are approaches that offer weight loss. The problem is they leave out one word. The word is temporary. So, you know, when you look at, you know, permanent weight loss, it's a horse of a different color than just losing weight. And the reason I say that is because 97% of the folks who need to lose 25 to 30 pounds or more, the fact of the matter is, never lose that weight long term. They lose weight, they gain weight, they lose weight, they gain weight. But they don't lose weight long term. So I just want to make a distinction from the outset that there's a big difference between losing weight and losing weight and keeping it off. So there's millions of ways to lose weight, but I only know of one way that you can lose weight permanently and keep it off, and that's through a system of creating what we call metabolic fire. And it's really not a diet as much as it is a lifestyle. It's an attitude. Mm-hmm. It involves exercise, eating habits, stress management, meditation. So, you know, there are many factors to it.
Now, one part of your program has a lot to do, and obviously when you're dealing with a lifestyle change, everything has to change. So you're not only dealing with the types of foods that you're intaking, but what you're outputting as well. Your program has a lot of basic and supplemental detoxification processes that are incorporated into this weight loss.
Yes.
Can you explain to our listeners what detox is, why it's important, and why it's sometimes very difficult to do?
Well, you know, the bottom line here is this. If you think about being overweight, I mean, again, it's a subject of great concern because it's become an epidemic in our North American society and in other countries as well. So, you know, we're sitting with a situation right now where, like I say, two-thirds of the American population is considered overweight, and one-third of the children and teenage population is overweight. So that's becoming a great concern as well. So, you know, the point I'm trying to get at is that, you know, for those folks out there that are overweight, I want them to think of it as if they had a wounded metabolism, because that's pretty much what it comes down to. So when you're overweight, you have a wounded metabolism, and if you, of course, using your common sense, how you approach any wound, if you had a wound on your knee or a bruise on your elbow or something like that, you know, there are three steps in healing a wound. The first step is to clean the wound. The second step is to cover the bandage the wound and protect the wound so it can heal. Then third stage, the wound goes on to heal. And so that's similar to what happens with trying to create a new metabolism. I mean, at first you have to restore the metabolism. So the only way clinically, and I've been in practice, it'll be 40 years coming up this summer. So I've been practicing for 40 years, seeing some 65, 70,000 patients, countless of consultations, hundreds of thousands of people that I've lectured to, et cetera. And so what I've come to realize is that if you're going to correct a wounded metabolism, you have to go through some kind of nutritional transformation. We call that nutritional detox. So a detox is the word detox itself means to eliminate toxins. And basically, that's what it's about. It's about cleaning the wound, eliminating toxins, and going on a nutritional program that's going to create what we call metabolic fire. So the best-kept secret to permanent weight loss is what I call metabolic fire, or the fire in your metabolism. And the way that works is wood is to the fire like food is to the metabolism. So the fire burns wood, and a healthy metabolism burns food. And unless you have a metabolic fire, if you haven't established metabolic fire, and you have to know what foods actually restore the metabolism, and many common diets are not favorable to the metabolism. I mean, again, you can get temporary weight loss. So unless you know how to go through what I call a nutritional cleansing and a nutritional detox, it's unlikely you'll restore your metabolism. You may lose weight, but as I say, the weight loss will be temporary, and invariably, you know, like what I tell folks is that if they're 25 to 30 pounds overweight, they might think of themselves as being 25 to 30 feet in a ditch. And when the dust settles after their efforts to lose weight, if they haven't chosen a program that offers them permanent weight loss, now they're 35 to 40 feet in the ditch. So it's not something that, you know, I would encourage people to go on a diet or go on a program unless they have some evidence or some linkage or connection to know that that program is offering permanent weight loss. And many of the programs that are out there offer you weight loss. Oh, so-and-so lost 30 pounds, so-and-so lost 50 pounds. But if you really get to know the program, you'll see that, like I say, the national average is 97% of folks that need to lose 25 to 30 pounds more and never lose it long term.
Well, you know, part of the, I know that some of the guidelines for the nutritional detox that you talk about also includes the obviously the types of food you should or shouldn't eat. And here, briefly, vegetables, legumes, nuts, seeds, sprouts, are all a good item, but you're shying away from whole grains. Now, dairy products, I understand, because I've long understood, I mean, honestly, if you think about a dairy product, you know, and you think about the lifespan of a cow, we're drinking something that turns an ordinary 60 or 70-pound animal into a 400-pound, two-ton beast within a year. So obviously that can't possibly be good for us. Now, let me ask you, though, what about, like, animal protein and whole grains? You know, here we've got all these high-protein diets, and again, as you said, this would be, I would consider that and whole grains to be nutrient-dense. And why are they not good for us?
Okay, so what you have to remember is this, is that it's not about what, you know, necessarily is. There are foods that are good for us in different stages of our evolution. The thing I'm trying to emphasize is that what you have to figure out about nutrition, here's where people get confused. You know, most people have a dietetic approach to nutrition. Here's how many calories there are in an apple. Here's how many calories there are in a piece of bread. This is how much protein, carbs, and fat are in the food. But see, that's misleading. That's not what you need to know to lose weight. What you have to know to lose weight, again, and metabolic fire is not just food. It's exercise. It's stress management. It's supplementation. It's learning how to get your hormones balanced. So there are more than just foods. We call it smart foods, though, the foods that you need to eat. And the smartest foods are the foods that have what we call MSN, metabolically stimulating nutrients. So, for example, what I'm talking about is you'd have to know what foods act like paper and twigs, what foods act like kindling wood, what foods act like big logs, what foods act like paper, like sand or water, you know, to put the fire out. So that's a clinical observation that has very virtually nothing to do with the protein, carbohydrate, fat distribution. So let's not get confused there. So first of all, to restore your metabolism, just like if we were, you know, think of your metabolism as a furnace. Mm-hmm. And just like if you had a furnace in your home to heat your living room, and if you're going to start your fire at night, if you don't have one of those automatic, you know, fires, which hopefully, you know, we're talking about a natural approach here, you know, you start with paper and twigs, and then you put little small branches in it, and maybe some kindling wood, and you would build your fire. And that's exactly how our program goes. You learn how to ignite the fire, ignite metabolic fire, how to build to metabolic fire, and then to sustain metabolic fire. So there's three steps: igniting the fire, building the fire, sustaining the fire. Now, whole grains turn out to be foods that are very thick. They're very thick. They're complex carbohydrates by and large. And complex carbohydrates are thick logs. Now, when you're starting a fire, you're trying to build a fire. Remember, people that are overweight have a wounded metabolism. So they lack, you can take this to the bank. If you're overweight and you're having trouble losing weight, you lack the metabolic fire you need. So when you try to build the fire, you don't start the fire with big oak logs or thick logs. You see what I'm saying? You start with lighter branches. Exactly. So whole grains tend to be the thicker logs in the mix. So if you have a wood pile of paper and twigs, and then you have little small kindling branches or thin twigs, and then medium-sized branches and kindlers, and then the thicker woods, and eventually the thicker logs, the big logs, the whole grains, the complex carbs like the brown rice and the breads and the pastas and the potatoes and the crackers and the cereals, they are the thicker logs. You don't want to put a thick log on a fire until the fire is roaring. So those whole grain foods come into maintenance. They don't come into the cleansing, the power cleansing, which is igniting the fire, the detox, which is building the fire, and then the maintenance plan. So once you're in maintenance, yeah, whole grains are an excellent choice. As a matter of fact, once you have a good fire going, you actually need thick logs to keep the fire going. But if you put the whole grains in the beginning, when you have a wounded metabolism, and another thing to recognize is this, 98% of people that are overweight have a wounded carbohydrate metabolism, which means they have an impaired ability to metabolize and burn carbs. So if you had an ankle sprain, you wouldn't go out jogging and dancing on it, you'd rest it. And so when you have a wounded carb metabolism, you've got to eliminate the heavy carbs until that fire comes up. Now, as far as the proteins are concerned, that's very misleading and very deceptive. High-protein diets do not lead to permanent weight loss. As a matter of fact, high-protein diets tend to impair the function of the liver. Animal protein and animal fats, particularly saturated fats, have a negative effect on liver physiology and create liver stress. Now, to really have metabolic fire, you need a healthy pancreas and a healthy liver. So what you're doing here, sure, you know, if you restrict caloric intake and get sensible exercise, you will lose weight. And we can go to your garage this evening and we can make up our own diet, the succotash diet, the apple and raisin diet, the carrot and peach diet, doesn't matter. If you restrict calories and you get some sensible exercise, you'll lose weight. But are you going to lose weight permanently without restoring the metabolic fire? Absolutely not. So high-protein diets tend to give you temporary weight loss, but they impair your ability to do long-term weight loss, particularly the ones that are high in animal fats and saturated fats, because they have a toxic effect on the liver. And because they have an acidic residue, most animal proteins, they cause some liver stress, friction in the liver, and eventually, it gets in the way of metabolic fire. So the wrong carbs, the wrong carbohydrates damage the pancreas, and the wrong proteins, particularly the animal fats and the animal proteins, have a negative impact on the liver, all of which will impair you from long-term weight loss. Now, short-term weight loss, sure, you can, like I say, you can go on a high-protein diet to lose weight short-term, but when the dust, it's not sustainable. When the dust settles, if you're trying to lose weight, you'll regain the weight and more. So that's the predicament. I mean, I don't see the point. If you're going to put the time and effort into doing something, you know, you might as well get results. I mean, the trouble with the health industry, is particularly the weight loss industry, it's not results oriented. You could give people diets and programs. They can lose weight short term, not lose weight permanently, and think they're doing okay. But they're not. As a medical doctor, seeing your patients lose weight and then gain weight and lose weight and gain weight is very, very, shall we say, self-defeating to the metabolic profile.
Well, let me ask you, once you've achieved your metabolic profile and your FIRE, is that a maintenance thing? And obviously, if you go back to eating incorrectly or
well, it's a maintenance thing, of course. In other words, yeah. Once you have the FIRE going, you know, it's like anything. You know, if you want to be, if you're a millionaire, first you got to get the million, and then you got to learn how to keep it.
You just want to keep it going after
that. Yeah, you got to keep it going. Now, to keep it going, you would cleanse or detox occasionally. Like, for example, we generally have people cleanse or do a power cleanse one day a week, and we typically have people go on a cleanse or a detox 5 days every 3 months to a kind of dovetail with the seasonal changes. So, for example, March 20th, which is where we're just past, June 20th, September 20th, December 20th, are the seasonal changes right before the equinox, about 10 days before, so like March 10th, June 10th, September 10th, December 10th, we encourage people to go on a 5-day power cleanse to get ready to clean up their system, kind of go through an oil change, and get ready for the next season. So, yeah, you can pretty much stay in a maintenance plan at that point. But you do have from time to time to go back and cleanse it up a little bit.
Well, let me ask you, these seasonal cleanses that you're doing in relationship to changes, is that based on the different kinds of foods that are available during the seasonal
That's
changes?
One factor. That's one good point. I mean, you typically want to eat foods that are in season. So, for example, in your cleansing in the wintertime, you know, you'd be working with your citrus fruits, whereas you're cleansing mm-hmm. in the summertime, you'd be spending more time with your melons, and in the fall with apples and pears. But it's not so much a food thing. What happens is, you know, nature, as you know, has a cyclical approach, fall, winter, spring, summer type of thing. And as the chemistry of the nature changes, the environment changes, we are part of nature as well. So we change, you see. And what happens to most folks is when the seasons change, they kind of get out of balance, they tilt, they overstress. So if I was going to work, you know, as a doctor 1 week every 3 months, I'd work during the week of the seasonal change because that's when most folks are getting sick. So the point is that you want to cleanse your machine, do your oil change before the seasonal change. So when the seasonal change comes, you're grounded, you're centered, you're rooted, and you're in a position to kind of flow with the seasonal change. You're much more balanced in doing it that way.
Mm-hmm. How does this diet affect diabetics and insulin maximization?
Well, you know, there are two kinds of diabetes, you know, basically. I mean, there are actually three kinds. There's the juvenile diabetic, who's basically 6 or 8 or 9 years old when they find out they're diabetic. There is the majority of them, which we call acquired or adult-onset diabetic. And then the third type of diabetes is gestational diabetes, the one that appears during pregnancy. And most of those ladies will eventually go on to have acquired or type 2 adult-onset diabetes. But now, for adult-onset diabetes, our program is basically curative. I mean, once you learn how to, you know, effectively get the pancreas and liver working together, rejuvenate your metabolism, and instead of storing fat, learn how to burn fat, you don't have stage 2, you know, adult-onset diabetes. Juvenile diabetes is different. Those are trickier. You will always have to, usually, I mean, it's rare. I mean, in 98.9% of the cases, you'll be on insulin the rest of your life. But if you're diabetic and you follow the principles of what it takes to restore the metabolism, and the criteria are foods that are high fiber, that are low in fat, that are chemical-free, that are highly alkaline, and that are rich in defensive nutrients like phytonutrients and antioxidants. So therefore, when you put a metabolic program together that's high in fiber, low in fat, alkaline, chemical-free, rich in phytonutrients, and rich in antioxidants, that begins to rejuvenate and restore the entire metabolic machine. So a type 1 diabetic following this program would be able to sustain optimal health, and a type 2 or diabetic or a woman with gestational diabetes that was told they had prediabetes in their pregnancy, were they to go on our programs, they would essentially be restored and cured. Those are easy. The adult-onset ones are easy to fix. It's the juvenile ones. You can't really fix the diabetes, but you can manage it.
Now, you were granted a scientific visa from the Colombia government. Can you tell us a little bit of the nature and study and how it came about that you are using a blend of culturally dietary foods and supplements?
Well, what happened was, you know, I was a surgical, doing my surgical residency at UCLA, UC San Diego, back in the late 60s or early 70s. And so I was in a 5-year surgical residency at the time. And I started getting interested in health and nutrition and yoga and meditation and things of that nature. And, you know, I had made a career decision at that point to come out of surgery, even though I was doing my residency. I finished up 3 years out of a five-year program. And then I decided to go into preventive medicine. That's why I was the very first doctor to go into this field in Southern California, possibly in the entire country. And the point is, at that point, I started looking into health and nutrition and prevention type of matter. And, you know, the literature was riddled with information about how there were these villages in Ecuador and Chile and Peru where folks were living into their hundreds and people were hanging from the vines and eating mangoes, having kids, and, you know, no pollution, no air pollution, no water pollution. So, you know, I just needed to, you know, seeing is believing. So having been impassioned with the concept of wellness and preventive medicine and reading about these cultures that supposedly have this great quality of life and stress-free and clean air, clean water, low stress, I just was kind of fascinated by that whole, shall we say, intrigued by what was really going on. So it led me on a fact-finding and scientific research tour. It took me about 3 years through South America, and I wound up spending the majority of the time in southern Colombia, right between the border of Ecuador and Colombia, studying the primitive cultures and the native ways of cultures that didn't have hospitals, that didn't have doctors, that didn't have pharmacies, you know, and how did people fare? How did people stay well? Were people overweight? Were they unhealthy? And, you know, what were the challenges that these folks had that don't have hospitals? I mean, you know, things of that nature. I mean, the Pueblo we lived in might have been, you know, for the circumference of 50 or 75 miles, might have had 5,000 or 6,000 people. So, I mean, it was quite eye-opening to learn about natural healing and how to the seasons, you know, how you farm according to the seasons. And that's where a lot of my knowledge came about nutritional healing in terms of working the nutrition around the seasons. But, you know, the foods, whether they're in South America, whether in the United States, whether they're in China, it's basically the same idea. If your food is high fiber, low fat, chemical-free, highly alkaline, and rich with life-giving nutrients, you're going to be in a good place. However, if you choose foods that are low fiber, high acidic residues, foods that are filled with chemicals, foods that are higher in and saturated fats, that are lower in the phytonutrients and antioxidants, you're going to be giving yourself a fuel level which is really not nearly as wholesome as the fuels that have, you know, all the ingredients I'm talking about.
One of the statements that I read that you say is the least costly illness is the one that never occurs.
Correct.
How can your program and that kind of a lifestyle help avert illness? Does it actually avert illness? Can it cure illness? Can it help enhance basically you're enhancing a healthier environment?
Well, you know, basically it's more than that. I mean, what happens is that the program we have is designed to prevent disease. So, you know, we're more about prevention, about what it takes to keep well and stay well and be well, and an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So what I mean by the least costly illness is the one that never occurs, is that our country is in crisis right now, the United States, on our health care system. Actually, it's a disease care system, and how we're delivering disease care, and it's bankrupting the system because of all the chronic illness that people have. It turns out that 4 out of 5 Americans aged 60 to 65 or over are suffering with one form of a chronic illness or another. Diabetes, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, cancer, stroke, arthritis, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So this has really become a way of life for most folks over 55 to 60. They're living longer because of the miracle drugs and the new technologies and the pacemakers and the heart, you know, open heart procedures, but that doesn't mean the quality of life's improved. So our program is designed to empower people with the tools to be well and stay well. I mean, the theme of our program is very simple. It's actually the same name as our website. It's Make Time for Wellness. MakeTimeForWellness.com is our website. But our theme is Make Time for Wellness Before Illness Makes Time for You. So if you don't, if you're a person who believes in, I mean, like, for example, if you're interested in financial planning, most people would agree that if they didn't do any financial planning, it would be more difficult to retire and plan out your finances in a way that would be optimal for you. So people understand financial planning. It's interesting. If you looked in the Yellow Pages between San Diego, where we're based, and Los Angeles, there would probably be 5,000 financial planners. But then if you look under wellness planning, you might find some wedding planners, but you're not going to find any wellness planners. So wellness planning is really this, what we're talking about, learning a system of self-empowerment, self-discipline, of self-empowerment, of how to be well, how to stay well, what it takes, what kind of attitude it takes, what kind of self-awareness it takes, what kind of food intake it takes, what kind of exercise routine it takes, how to manage stress. These are all very practical because bottom line is this. You can either choose a high-risk lifestyle a moderately high-risk lifestyle, a low-risk lifestyle, or a very low-risk lifestyle. I don't know there is such a thing as a no-risk lifestyle, but it's like an investor. You know, you sit down with an investor and you say, okay, here are the different instruments. You can go to stocks, you can go to bonds, you can go to mortgages, you can go to real estate, you can go to municipal bonds. What is your risk tolerance, if you will? And the same thing with health. What is your willingness to take risk? If you want to have a high-risk lifestyle, great. If you don't care about having a high-risk lifestyle, you're inactive, you eat high-fat foods, you eat, you know, a lot of saturated fats, a lot of animal foods, you stress out, you burn out, you know, and you gain weight. So there's your high-risk lifestyle. If you want a low-risk lifestyle, you have to learn how to energize yourself, be of, you know, superior weight control, have an efficient metabolism, have a balanced body chemistry, have a strong immune system, exercise, eat well, you know, manage stress effectively, you know, live a purposeful, balanced life, learn the habits of happiness, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it just comes down to what kind of lifestyle you want to have. Now, if you're not thinking about these things, that's what I mean by lack of wellness planning. So failing to plan is planning to fail, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, look at the reality. I tell folks, you know, when they turn 55 to 60, there are five horses waiting for them to ride. One says cancer, one says arthritis, one says diabetes, one says coronary disease, and one says stroke. Which one of those horses do you want to ride? Well, I'm hoping what they're going to say to me is none, Dr. Meltzer, which is what I want to hear, but then you have to come up with some wellness planning. You have to make time for wellness. You have to make time for wellness before illness makes time for you. So, you know, what happens to folks is pretty much you can almost do anything until age 40 and still be relatively healthy. It's kind of like a warranty on your body, like on a new car.
Once
you get to 40 or so, your lifestyle, your habits, your choices, and your decisions determine your life, determine your health. Now, it's deceiving because here are folks who are partying and eating anything they want, burning the candle at both ends, maybe not exercising, stressing out, eating junk, eating on the run, et cetera, not eating enough salads, not eating enough fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, eating white flour, this and that, and they're partying and drinking soft drinks and, you know, having all kinds of fun, but, you know, basically staying healthy because of the warranty. But now the warranty comes off and they have these horrendous habits and they start to age more rapidly. So I think it's, again, it's just a function of what you want. What I tell folks is this, say, how important is it to be rich in life? And if I asked 1,000 people whether or not they wanted to be rich in life, 999 or 1,000 will tell me they want to be rich in life. Rich in health, rich in happiness, rich in spirit, rich in love, possibly rich in wealth, rich in family. Everybody wants that. What people don't recognize is this, without being rich in health, you're not going to be able to sustain being rich in life. If you're not healthy, the walls start closing in on you. It's a constriction. It's a contraction. Wellness is expansion. Illness is contraction. So if you wait until something happens, if you go to the conventional system and you wait till symptoms appear, it's typically too late. You know, it's kind of like, you know how in the car, if you have a car, I mean, everybody knows this, that you have like a gas gauge and you have indicator lights and they tell you how the car is doing. Well, just imagine if you didn't have a fuel gauge or if you didn't have indicator lights. You would, you know, if you didn't have a fuel gauge, how would you know how your car is doing? I mean, the car runs the same on an eighth of a tank of a gas as it does a full tank of gas. Well, that's how the human body is. You know, until you really start falling apart or start doing well, you think you're doing fine because you run the same with a marginal immune system as you do a good immune system until it hits that wall where you're getting into problems. So what I tell people is, yeah, you don't come with indicator lights, but you come with indicators. Now, are your indicators flashing? And there are four indicators that tell you that long-term you're in trouble and you need to do something about it. The first indicator is fatigue, people that are tired. That's not going to lead you long-term wellness. The second indicator is weight gain or obesity. The third indicator are folks that are plagued with emotional instability, you know, where their prevailing moods can be depression or anxiety. Why, in this country alone, last 2 years, over 100 million prescriptions were written for antidepressants. And number four is high-stress living. So if you take depression, high-stress living, weight gain, and fatigue, those are your indicators. Now, if you want to ignore those, that's your privilege. I mean, in a car, if your daughter came to you and said, Dad, my indicator lights are going off, you wouldn't tell them, oh, ignore them, you know, no problem, just keep driving. But human beings ignore their fatigue, ignore their depression, ignore their stress, ignore their weight gain, and then eventually, you know, they're going to get into trouble. Now, if you see a regular doctor, he doesn't treat burnout. Most of the doctors are burnout themselves. So how are they going to recognize, how are they going to change somebody else that they're in burnout themselves? So, you know, burnout is an epidemic, and it has to be treated aggressively. And that's why I wrote the book, The Best Kept Secret of Permanent Weight Loss. And that's why the MakeTimeForWellness.com website is around, because it's trying to give people tools to spread the cause of wellness. Because make time for wellness before illness makes time for you. So there's a certain amount of self-awareness involved in what your indicators are. Now, you're welcome to ignore them, but as a doctor of preventive medicine, I strongly discourage you from going in that direction.
Well, for those of you that didn't get that, that is MakeTimeForWellness.com.
Yes.
I really recommend going to the site. It's got a lot of valuable information. We have a couple of quick questions.
Sure.
Before we end the show. Fred in Canada would like to ask you, I recently saw a news item on sea kelp fiber and the possibility it will absorb 75% of fat intake. Have you heard of this, and does it work?
You know, what happens is this. It's not so much reducing, you know, Fred, the fat intake. Fiber helps burn fat. So the higher the fiber in your diet, the better it is fat. But there's no quick shortcut. I don't want him to think there's one substance that you take. What you want to do is get somewhere between 25 to 50 grams of fiber a day, and you can get that for eating fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and whole grains, nuts, and seeds. And that in itself, as you increase the fiber content, it has a stimulatory and an accelerated impact on the metabolism to burn fat. So that's the best way to do it. It's not so much a supplement, it's not so much a substance, but it's a lifestyle of the right foods. And all that's very carefully explained in our book, The Best Kept Secret of Permanent Weight Loss. So, you know, it's not complicated, but it's not a shortcut either. Think of it this way. I mean, if you were going to play, if you want to play the piano and be good at it, you want to play Mozart, if you want to be good at whatever you're doing, there's some basic disciplines and some basic skills that have to be mastered. You wouldn't expect to take a supplement or a pill and sit there and play Beethoven, you know? So it's the same thing with health, you know. There are fundamentals. Sure, there are supplements that help here and there. The bottom line, you have to have the self-awareness. You have to have the nutritional awareness. You have to have a good physical exercise routine. And you have to learn how to manage stress, because most folks basically are burnt out from a high-stress lifestyle.
Well, let me ask you, because our next Samantha asks about the different forms of supplements. If I were to ask you, what would be the best all-around supplement to take for weight loss, what would you say?
Well, I would say there are two or three. The first thing to keep in mind is this, that supplementation is an adjunct. It's one factor in the lifestyle. So, again, I don't want to fragment this thing. You know, you know, like I say, most medical doctors are taking the wounded bodies out of the river downstream. You know, they're in the river. I'm upstream trying to figure out how they got in the river. So, you know, a supplementation is important. It's one of the seven factors in creating metabolic fire. And I will say this as I answer the question. We teach our program on the MakeTimeForWellness.com. We teach the program in three ways. We have a book called The Best Kept Secret to Permanent Weight Loss. We have a CD program, which goes into detail, 6 hours of CD. And we have an online video coaching program where you can take all these lectures and all these classes online with me. 15 consultations online like that. So, basically, what, you know, the answer to the question is, you want to be taking liquid supplements. Liquid supplementation is far superior to any other kind of supplementation. And pills and tablets absorb maybe 7 to 12%, where liquids can absorb as much as 80, 85%. We have two supplements that we strongly encourage people to take for the weight loss program. And if you go to our website at the MakeTimeForWellness.com, you click on supplements. But the first one is called Revita. Now, Revita is a form of liquid spirulina. Spirulina being a high-potency blue-green algae. We call it a supernutrient. And what it does is it activates the metabolism and activates the burning process. So we recommend people take spirulina in the form of Revita. The second supplement we recommend that's very important is what's called VEMMA, V-E-M-M-A. And the reason why that's so important is it has the trace minerals and the manganese and antioxidants, which actually help erase insulin resistance. Those of you that want to know the technical aspects of weight gain, insulin is the single most important hormone when it comes to metabolism. And most folks that have a wounded carb metabolism and are overweight have some form of insulin, what we call resistance. Insulin resistance is when your insulin is not working for you. So the VEMA, which is an all-purpose liquid multiple, will help you reduce insulin resistance. And the third supplement, which is very important, is a brewer's yeast, because it's high in chromium. And chromium has a way of impacting the pancreas to make it work better, to burn fat more aggressively. So the spirulina in the Revita, the manganese and trace minerals in the VEMA, and the chromium in the brewer's yeast make those the three best supplements for permanent weight loss.
Well, there you go. Those, for those of you that are interested in that aspect of it, but as the doctor said, this is a holistic lifestyle change.
And if you want, again, if you're looking for permanent weight loss, if you want temporary weight loss, you know, you can do any mm-hmm. of these things. But if you want to do it forever and get rid of it, you know, and the other thing is people spend so much time losing time thinking about food. And, you know, we did a study where it's up to 50% of your time, if you're overweight, is spent, what should I eat? What should I not eat? Is that fattening? How do I look in those clothes? What do people think of how I look? You know, I mean, you know, you get a whole new life when this goes behind you. Whole new life.
It's almost like having a handicap with you.
It is a handicap.
All of the thoughts that go into
it is
being
a handicap.
Overweight.
I mean, so think of a person's human potential, and 50% of that person's potential is consumed by being absorbed by being overweight. It's a waste of life energy.
Absolutely.
It's a sad event.
Fascinating. This is wonderful. And for those, again, the website is maketimeforwellness.com. The book is The Best Kept Secret for Permanent Weight Loss, and it is the only program that shows you how to naturally and permanently fire up your metabolism to effectively burn fats and carbs so you can keep your weight in check with ease. Now, that is a big promise. And I want to thank you, Dr. Meltzer, for being with us this evening. It's been a great pleasure.
It's my pleasure indeed, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
And you know, on the MakeTimeForWellness.com website, we have a wellness education network. It's called WEN is Now, One is Now. And let me encourage all of your listeners to join and become part of our wellness, spread the cause of wellness. 95% of what's on that website of the Wellness Education Network is free, with audios and videos and little classes and all kinds of stuff you can share with loved ones and friends. So let's spread the cause of wellness. Let's make time for wellness. Let's make health a value. And let's do something about the healthcare situation in our country right now.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Thank you so much, Dr. Meltzer.
My pleasure.
That's all, folks, for this evening. It's been a pleasure having our guests with us. Thank you all for listening in. We will see you and hear you, and you will hear us next week, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, The People Speak Radio. When the people speak, we make a difference.
Huh.
Good night, folks.
This land is your land. This land is mine. From California to New York, from the red.